Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
YouTube family, click the link and subscribe as we recap Liverpool versus Manchester United. Let's go. Erik ten Hag has his first victory as Manchester United manager, and what a win it was. Goals from Jadon Sancho and Marcus Rashford fired the Red Devils into a two-goal lead against Liverpool. And despite another Mohamed Salah goal against the Reds, their great rivals never really looked like nicking the 3 points. Are Jurgen Klopp's side the new crisis team among the big six? Is this the blueprint for United under Ten Hag? And what does that mean for Cristiano Ronaldo? Joining me to recap tonight's events is Michael Lahoud. Welcome to Que Golazo. Michael Lahoud, absolutely buzzing. If I take people behind the scenes of our WhatsApp chat, I was warning you how I would rib you mercilessly. I have no dog in this fight, but I think we were all eagerly awaiting an absolutely horrible night for Manchester United fans again. It was what the internet wanted. It's what the country and the world wanted, or nearly all of the world, but not you, Mike Lahoud. How does it feel to finally not be humiliated by Liverpool?
Well, there's a saying on social media that the internet is undefeated. Not anymore. Internet, you take the big L because United get the big W. I am over the moon, ecstatic. I even had to drink 2 cups of coffee before the game just to get up for this one. I kicked every ball at the team, and I'd like to think that that helped the team get off the line, but probably did nothing for him. I'm just so happy today. It's one of the biggest wins in the last couple of years, especially given the gravitas of what could have gone wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we have to say, let's start by recapping the scene beforehand. Manchester United were not quite bottom of the table anymore because they'd scored a goal and West Ham United hadn't. But, you know, a defeat would have sent them bottom of the Premier League table after 3 games. Crisis was looming large. Erik ten Hag had decided to drop Cristiano Ronaldo. Meanwhile, and Harry Maguire, so the club captain and the top goal scorer from last season. Meanwhile, outside the ground, fans were protesting in that inimitable fashion that English fans always do, that you wonder how effective it is. They were protesting by walking to the game they were going to anyway. Although it has to be said, you know, a lot of noise made for that global viewing audience. I think we all know how Old Trafford feels about the Glazer family. Mm. But going into this game, it was crisis stations for Manchester United, wasn't it, Mike? I mean, you know, before we dive too deep into the contest, hand on heart, what were you expecting tonight?
I was, LME and I were talking about this. I was actually expecting United to get a positive result. I was leaning more towards a goal-filled draw, maybe 1-1 or 2-2, because I think this Liverpool team was vulnerable coming in, not just the injuries, but because of their form. And United, when they've gone up against Liverpool, minus last year, they've actually played them relatively well. And last year was just a farce. That was crap. Let's just call it for what it was. 5-0, 4-0, 5-0 at Old Trafford was humbling. But given the matchups, and I'm circling Trent Alexander-Arnold, I was positive and upbeat because he's been the scapegoat for a lot of other teams to identify and go after 2 matches going into this match.
Yeah, I think we will come on to talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold and Virgil van Dijk and the defense as a whole, because I think it deserves a section of its own. And, you know, I have to say, I come out of this game thinking more in, I think there's a more interesting conversation about Liverpool and where they are than Manchester United. Because I have to say, you know, my view on this would be that actually what they delivered is just kind of what you expect from a team in a derby. It was intensity. It was hard running. It was commitment to get to 50-50 balls. And we have to say, you know, for a long time, Manchester United fans have not seen that from their players. And I think that's how you ended up at Old Trafford in that virtuous circle. The fans responded to the energy. That fan response that created more energy around Old Trafford, and suddenly there was fearlessness where so often United players look fearful. You know, that then translates, of course, to that early pressure, especially down the United left, the Liverpool right, and that's where we see that goal coming from. A magnificent finish from Jadon Sancho. The composure to sit Alisson down, for Virgil van Dijk to be stood 10 feet away, seemingly awestruck by Sancho's quick feet. Trent Alexander-Arnold is wandering back into play. But, you know, Mike, you know, a question there that's on the screen. How big was that Jadon Sancho goal in terms of turning the tide and giving Old Trafford belief that this would be a night to remember?
It was massive, and Alanga deserves all the credit in setting that up, because moments before, he had just missed a golden opportunity. Third man running from midfield was how they broke them down and really playing to their strengths. This is how Manchester United, under Ole and after Mourinho with Ole, broke teams down. It was on the counter. It was using the pace of wingers. At the time, Martial was playing the nine, and Marcus Rashford was using his pace alongside Mason Greenwood. Alanga comes in, Rashford at that number nine position, and as soon as it got to Christian Eriksen or Bruno Fernandes, it was just route one. It was as soon as that ball sits in the pocket to Fernandes, it was just a first-time ball around the corner to Rashford, and that stretches Liverpool's back line. On the goal itself, Alanga deserves a lot of credit. He sets up his man in Trent Alexander-Arnold, baits him in, and then Christian Eriksen measures that pass to perfection to spring him in.
It has to be said, I didn't think Eriksen needed to measure that pass very well, because Alexander-Arnold just stopped, and he didn't start again for 10 seconds.
No, he's a player who has had a rough start to this 2022-23 Premier League season. And as I said before, he's been targeted by teams, and rightfully so, because offensively, you know what you're going to get from him. I mean, he can put whatever service, his range of passing, his finishing in the final third. But at the end of the day, he's a right back. And in the Premier League, there's going to be teams switching some of their best attackers on his side. We've seen European teams do that to success in the last couple seasons, and we saw United do that tonight. I thought the off-the-ball running from United was brilliant, and at times it was almost automatic, and Jurgen Klopp, I would say, got out-coached by Ten Hag tonight, and it's down to the players for buying in. I know you're laughing, Benj, but he got out-coached by him.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure it was out-coaching, really. I think, because it didn't feel to me like United had done that much different. We'll come on to talk maybe about the tactical changes, but for me, it felt like, I mean, Klopp didn't set his team out to be this listless, to be this slow. And I mean, you know, we mentioned the goal there, just to jump back in time. There was that moment, and, you know, came up in the UK commentary. Jamie Carragher, CBS analyst on Sky Sports, said when Anthony Alanga hit the post early on, he was just saying, "Where's Trent? Where's Trent?" You know, already launched a dozen memes. And that first half hour, we've seen Trent Alexander-Arnold play poorly before in a Liverpool shirt defensively. And I always say this, and you know, I put out this tweet during the game. Trent Alexander-Arnold is so good offensively that you have to accept the defensive deficiencies that come with his game. I'm sure you agree, Mike. There is no reason to drop Trent Alexander-Arnold. I'm not suggesting that Liverpool need to do that. My question is, why is he not improving defensively? Because there's no real sign of it. You know, these are the same errors that we've seen from Alexander-Arnold for years. You know, he stops paying attention. He's too easily turned. Some of these are effort things. With Van Dijk, you know, the baffling way he defended that goal, his struggles against Fulham and Palace. We've seen years and years and years of him being the best centre-back in the world, or one of. And we've seen three games where he's been off defensively. He gets the benefit of my doubt. Don't know about you.
Yeah.
But Trent, like, this does need to get better, because teams are going to target it more and more and more and more if it stays the same. And, you know, it clearly needs to improve, because he also doesn't have Jordan Henderson at anywhere near the same form protecting him.
Yeah, well, question from our fans. How concerned should we be about Liverpool and their back four? I think very concerned. Tonight, Trent was left on an island because that relationship between he and Joe Gomez was a disaster for much of the game. Joe Gomez, you could run a bus down the M1 through 16, if you will, between that Liverpool back line, especially on their right-hand side. I thought Joe Gomez had a poor game, and that impacted Trent. Trent had a poor game in his own in that 1v1 matchup with Alanga, but Joe Gomez was run ragged. He was all over the place. Between he and Van Dijk, they looked disconnected. Between he and Trent looked disconnected. Liverpool need to get back to basics, and I think it shows you the value of Fabinho, who came on late in the game. Fabinho is the shield, which allows Jordan Henderson to shift out right. And Jordan Henderson, he just got run ragged. Bruno Fernandes was excellent playing between the lines, playing off the shoulder of Henderson, making that late run. And on the Alanga chance before the goal came, it was a Bruno Fernandes touch and late run that set it up for Alanga to potentially put United ahead. And it goes back to how significant the Jadon Sancho goal was, because if Jadon Sancho doesn't put that away, Alanga hit the post, Sancho potentially misses it. Now Liverpool are off the hook. And I think what you're seeing with Liverpool's back line are teams are being efficient in front of goal. They're not letting Liverpool off the hook. This is still a Liverpool team that gives up chances. They've given up chances in seasons past. And it's been down to brilliant goalkeeping or Van Dijk pulling a rabbit out of his hat to keep a zero or really get them out of a dire situation, and then the attackers come to life. Not tonight.
Yeah, I think just a final word maybe on that defense. I think in particular someone like Trent Alexander-Arnold, we've alluded to this, he really benefits from settled players in front of him, a settled back line. This is the third centre-back he's had on his inside shoulder. It was Matip, wasn't it, for the opening game?
Yeah.
Then Nat Phillips, then Joe Gomez, who looks a shadow of the player who I thought was going to marshal the England defence for a decade. So, I mean, I think if Liverpool can get some consistency there, that would help. Of course, we could say the same thing about midfield. Mike, you know, you know that what it's like playing in the engine room. You know what it's like playing in these positions. What on earth was going on in that midfield? Jordan Henderson couldn't pass the ball. James Milner seemed like he was only really there to shout at Virgil van Dijk. Yeah. I thought Harvey Elliott had quite a good game,
yep,
but only when Liverpool were on the front foot. He's definitely more of a number 10, I think, than a third central midfielder. Is there a way of making this midfield work without getting Thiago? And we should say, no Fabinho, no Thiago, no Naby Keita, no Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, no Curtis Jones. There are a lot of good options that Liverpool are without, but I thought they had the quality, if Fabinho was there, to be fine in that area. It's strange to not have Fabinho. It's all very strange, wasn't it?
Yeah, and when you're Ten Hag and you see the team sheet, you're going to be just over the moon because you're thinking, okay, these are beatable. And I was thinking that when I saw that midfield in particular, man for man, pound for pound with today's midfield, are you saying, is Eriksen better than Jordan Henderson? Yes. Is Bruno Fernandes bring more quality than Harvey Elliott? Question over that? I think so. In my book, we're going to take the England national team biases aside. I think so, Benj. In terms of overall quality, I think so. And maybe that's me and my caffeine talking tonight. But overall quality, that United midfield, I thought United had the slighter edge and they won the midfield battle. That was what made the difference. I thought their commitment to get behind the ball was excellent. And Marcus Rashford running himself into the ground, that was a Marcus Rashford we hadn't seen in a while. And the second goal was pivotal for his confidence. He gets 1v1 and Anthony, Uncle Tony Martial coming back from injury, sun-kissed from Spain, having his time from Sevilla, and he impacted the game. He gave Liverpool something totally different to worry about, sets up the second goal. And when Rashford gets in, there was a nervy moment where you thought, please do not miss this. And he gives Alisson the eyes and makes it 2-0. And that turns out to be the game winner.
That was that. And like you said earlier in the show, that was classic United of the Ole era, wasn't it? You know, they've soaked up the pressure. I think we should say, you know, Liverpool had all the possession. Everyone that's talking about sprint stats, there's a reason Manchester United sprinted an awful lot more. It's they hardly saw the ball. And when they did, they were counter-attacking. But I thought they soaked up the pressure quite well. Lisandro Martinez what a performance by him. He's incredible. Made a few people eat their words. And then razor sharp finishing, but the sort that I think, like you said, we don't trust from Rashford, and we don't trust from Martial anymore. I thought, for all that Fernandes obviously caught the eye for his histrionics, he got one yellow for a dive, yeah, and was lucky to not get a second for holding onto the ball and riling up Liverpool defenders. I thought, in spite of all that, he was quite good. Is this just how good Manchester United can be when they don't play that number seven that slows everything down?
I think it's a glimpse of how good they can be when their back line is intact. I thought the solidarity of their back line, yes, what they did offensively and playing to their strengths is one thing, but when everyone shows commitment, this is a United team that when their minds are in it, they're a completely different team. Against Brent, and when De Gea keeps it simple and just kicks the ball along, don't try and overcomplicate it. This was a big game for him as well. Yes, he gave up the goal, and I was gutted for him because I think that, you know, it's a bummer because it didn't overshadow the big saves he made late on. There are a couple saves where it's like, okay, this guy looks to be back to himself. And against Brentford, it was disturbing to see how one goal they gave up, two goals it was time to warm up the bus, three goals I was thinking, geez, you might get relegated if these guys don't turn it around mentally. But tonight it looked like a unified team. Moments that I think about, Lisandro Martinez, that goal line saving block on Bruno Fernandes, who I think was shooting at Alisson in that one moment, because it just boggled my mind how that ball hit off his foot. But Martinez had an amazing game. Seeing defenders high five, that camaraderie, I think it just showed you how much these players wanted and needed this game to get the W.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
I think, As much as the camaraderie and all that was great, but I think really you hit the nail on the head about what made United work today with that point about De Gea. And this was really, I thought, a game where Ten Hag told his players to do the things he knew they could do. Yes, De Gea had that howler against Brentford, but we know he's an adequate shot stopper. Yeah. I think he's maybe one of those camera goalkeepers who makes the easy ones look more difficult for the world's audience. But he is certainly not a bad shot stopper. He is bad if you ask him to play out from the back. So Ten Hag didn't. And I think every single one of his goal kicks went long. And actually, the one thing we have to say, because he kicks it long fairly frequently, but he doesn't find teammates. He did tonight. United players, as you said, they were up for the fight. They were winning the first balls and the second balls. But it was really, it did seem like Ten Hag was willing to deviate from that formula. We didn't see intricate build-up play. I think Christian Eriksen, other than, as you said, that pass in the build-up to the first goal, a lot of what he was doing was set pieces and watching the ball kind of sail over his head or sail past him as it flew forward. That to me, I think, is what's interesting there is that sustainable? And maybe we can kind of, as we wind down our reaction, we can come to talk about what this means going forward for Manchester United and for Liverpool. Is this in any way, or in what way is this a template Ten Hag can look up and his team come up against opponents that won't dominate the ball, that won't have 70% possession? You know, is this sustainable? Is this a replicable approach where Manchester United is expected to win and have all the ball?
I think it's a sustainable approach when you play top six teams, because they will want the ball. They will want to dominate possession. They will want to be intricate. This was the Liverpool team that, though shorthanded, you saw Mohamed Salah drifting off that right-hand side and centrally almost playing left. He had a free role in ways that we haven't seen him before for Liverpool. He seemed the brightest spot. Bobby Firmino seemed lacking in confidence and just sharp and heavy-legged. And for United, I think of the likes of Rafael Varane. He looked more like the Varane that came from Real Madrid, that played for Madrid, who is a masterclass and specialist in being able to soak up pressure, which tees it up for the counterattack when he was at Madrid. I think of the likes of Malacia. I thought he had a great game.
We should probably come on to talk about it, because in all the excitement, it kind of got lost that Rafael Varane's teammate Casemiro is joining up with him now. Yeah. You know, watching that game, I couldn't help but think, hey, you know, Scott McTominay's still not that good, but you've got a guy there that could partner Christian Eriksen in midfield very nicely. I mean, look, we saw that there are big issues at Manchester United off the pitch that the result doesn't address. It was notable both times that United scored. When Liverpool scored that late goal through Mo Salah, pretty much every 5 minutes, what we were hearing was, we want the Glazers out. And Casemiro, welcome to Old Trafford. What I'm hearing is a lot of, we want, you know, Glazers out chants at his unveiling. And I think we have to remember all that these things don't get solved in 90 minutes and that there are big existential issues. But equally, you know, there are opportunities for this team to get better in that front three, if it's Antony or Cody Gakpo or whoever, a bit of quality off the bench or among the starters. How do you suddenly feel now? Has this changed much? Do you think, I mean, I know you were joking about, let's be frank, joking about being title contenders. Does this still feel like, I mean, to me, this still feels like a team that is, that the best case scenario is sixth. The worst case is probably eighth or ninth. I mean, are you more optimistic than that?
It's too early to tell. It's one game. It's a massive psychological shift. What I can tell you is that we're not, the dumpster fire has been put out, extinguished mostly. There's still that bit of a dumpster fire with Ronaldo and his situation that still looms, and the dark cloud of that still looms over the team. I think it was excellent by Ten Hag to bench him alongside Harry Maguire. You still have to address the problem of those two players. And with Maguire linked to Chelsea, get him out, get him out, get him out. Bring whoever, get him out for free. Your club, we'll use them for example, right? Arsenal, last season had massive problems, had players on high wages who were, do they want to be there? Do they not? Their effort, they were becoming problems. And Arteta and Edu do what? Get them out of the club. Two of them for free. And you have to take that hit for the long-term success of a young team and a group of players who, if they have a leader who, like Bruno Fernandes, with the captain's armband on, United look like a different team. This is Bruno's team. And I think as long as Ten Hag identifies that, and as long as he brings in pieces that are going to be able to play with Fernandes, you talk about the recipe for success against other teams. It's identifying, whose team is this? Is it Bruno's team? Is it Maguire's team? I sure hope not. Is it Ronaldo's team? Because that needs to be ironed out before they move forward into the next match.
Yeah, I mean, certainly this was an advertisement and a reminder of how much better on the ball Fernandes can be without Ronaldo, and for whatever reason that doesn't work. And I hope that the Portugal coaching staff, I don't really care whether they were, but I'm sure the Portugal staff would do well to take notice of that as well and consider which players are more important. And I mean, certainly I think they have better players than both Bruno and Ronaldo in that Portugal national team. But for me, the thing that's really interesting coming out of this game is Liverpool, now below Manchester United in the table, 5 points off off Manchester City, 7 points off the only unbeaten team in the league. Can't remember who that is. Mike, do you remember who that is?
A long way to go.
You see Virgil van Dijk and James Milner berating each other on the pitch. You see the injuries. I've kind of just started sketching this out in my head as something to write this evening. Is this going to be a return to the sort of lockdown title defense that was railroaded by injuries and railroaded by you know, difficulties for Liverpool. Is this just a freak? Is this just a, you know, as we've said all along, it's less than 10% of the season played so far. Is this just a freak start to the, is it just a little early season wobble for Liverpool, or is this bigger? What do you think?
I think this is bigger. I think you identify players within your club and team who sometimes you can misidentify what you're willing to let go and what you're willing to keep. I think the loss of Mane is understated by Jurgen Klopp and this club. I think they were winning so many games. They were pushing for titles on all fronts that you almost underappreciate the player, the significance of a player like Sadio Mane. You see what he's doing at Bayern, although Bayern dominate the Bundesliga, but you see what he's doing in continental football in Africa, and he's finding goals. He's scoring goals. He brings the X factor in games like that tonight. Yes, if they had Darwin Nunez, could that have been a factor? Most likely. But with Mane, when Liverpool were playing at their worst at times, even when they won the title, it was Mane that got off the mark and won them games. He was the match winner in games where they were playing like crap. They don't have him anymore, and I think they're going to start getting found out, because if Nunez doesn't show up, then Bobby Firmino, who's out of form and will be out of favor and Nunez is healthy, you're going to put your responsibility of scoring goals and coming up with big moments on him. Could be dicey.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought actually for me as well, the player that kind of stood out for the wrong reasons was Luis Diaz. I mean, the suspicion kind of when Liverpool let Mane go, we were all saying, well, they've already got their replacement. It was a really hot start from Nunes. It was not Nunes, from Diaz. It was a start where he outperformed his expected goals by a huge margin. You know, he had been playing like the player that came from Porto that had been absolutely dominating the Portuguese league. But we all knew that didn't last, no matter how fast the start was. And I, you know, as you say, I think they really missed Mane's just spark. You know, going back to that last game last season, that magnificent clip he played over the top for Salah, wasn't it, or whoever, for that goal, the second goal in the 4-0 win, not the 5-0. You know, that, and there were a few players, of course, they're missing Thiago as well. There's just a little bit of oomph was going out of this team. It felt like, with Trent not having his best game offensively and Robertson as well, that there were players who might be able to get on the end of chances. Salah, Elliot, Firmino, even though he was kicking more of the air than the ball, but there wasn't really anyone to craft a way through, and for me that's kind of that is a bit of a worry, and I don't necessarily think that we'll see immediately the Diaz of the end of last season, and I think this will be more typical. I mean, look, Liverpool are definitely not in crisis. I think in a few weeks' time they'll be competing with Manchester City for the title, but I also think we have to bear in mind that the standards these two clubs set for each other, this sort of wobble early in the season, it's going to take a long time to overcome it and to get back into contention. So maybe, you know, after all that talk about Manchester United in crisis, Liverpool certainly aren't in crisis, but they're maybe the team that we need to keep a closer eye on in the next few weeks. Having said that, this is Manchester United Football Club, Sandal Gary Neville. I am certain they will shoot themselves in the foot very soon.
Well, question, Mike, for you, Benj, before we sign off. Yeah. I've been dying because as a final whistle blew after exhaling and almost reaching for a beer in the fridge, I thought, you know what, let me save it for post-production beer. I thought about you, and as an Arsenal fan, what's your perception of this result, looking at Manchester United, and also as an Arsenal fan, in terms of a title contender as Liverpool, what's your perception? Has that changed?
I mean, I, like, you know, the fan side of me died years ago covering the club, I think it's fair to say anyway. But look, title contention, it's much, much too early, and Arsenal are nowhere near that level. They just aren't, no matter. I mean, it is good for Arsenal that they're spanking the teams that are probably going to be in the bottom half of the table. But, you know, very important not to get carried away. I think the reality of it is that they're in that mix for top four, probably more so than I thought they might be, although I actually did think they'd finish fourth. But I think they're like a more serious contender, and I think this weekend as a whole, I mean, there's been some good results here for Arsenal. Liverpool dropping points, you know, it'd be good for them to get dragged into this race. I don't see, I have to say, Mike, and almost there's that thing with United where because it's the derby, or not the derby, it's because it's the Liverpool game, you kind of have to say, do I believe the intensity? I have to ask, do I believe that intensity will last? Will we see that against Fulham? Will we see that against Aston Villa? Against, you know, I would say Leicester, but they're quite poor. But, you know, teams of that level. Are we going to see more games like Brentford or more games like this? I need to be convinced. But certainly, I think this weekend has probably shown us is that City are going to be a fair bit ahead of the pack. But that maybe that pack can have Liverpool at the top of it and Arsenal and Tottenham in and around. I feel quite good about Arsenal's chances of getting top four. I don't think they finish Liverpool. I don't see that at all. I just think when this Liverpool team clicks, it's something else. It's a level that no other team can reach. But you are totally right that they really miss Mane. And if Thiago's out for a long time... Then I think there are problems, and that is maybe when they get drawn in, isn't it? You know, that, like they did a few years ago. Any thoughts on a great day for your Red Devils?
As I said before the match, I just want to thank all the player haters out there, including you, James Bench. Thank you, because you are the fuel to my Manchester United. Just almost kissed the wrong badge. You are the fuel to my United fire. Thank you. You kept me up at night with that WhatsApp group text. For all you player haters out there, keep it coming. I hope you gas up United to climb up the table. And if not, I'm going to be really miserable the rest of the season. But today is a good day.
Today is a good day if you're a Manchester United fan, but sadly not if you're a fan of Premier League band, which I think all. But ladies and gentlemen, that is that. Thank you, everyone, for watching along, for joining us. Remember, you can follow us on YouTube, Twitter. We're live on all your favorite podcast platforms as well. I'm sure you can listen back to this and really pinpoint all the moments that Mike and I got it right, and mostly the moments that Mike and especially I got it wrong. Thank you so much for watching. LME will be back in the coming days. We've got a pretty hectic week ahead of us. We've got Champions League draw. We've got Europa League draw. We've got a big slate of games in Serie A, in the Premier League. So we'll be back very soon to chat through all of them with you. But for now, thanks so much for watching, and we shall see you soon. Bye-bye.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.